my pleasure this morning to introduce our brother Bob as our speaker. And as always, I know he appreciates your silent prayers and your kind attention. He brings us the message this morning. Brother Bob.
Thank you, David. You're right. I do appreciate your prayers. It's good to see you all here today. My thoughts this morning will be primarily in the book of Genesis. A story that most of us are pretty familiar with, but I would like to apply some of those things that are common with this story, that are common with our existence and our human frailties, if you will. So, I am going to begin in Genesis in chapter 16. And this is about Abram and Sarai. At the time, they were living in a place called Mamre, which is by Hebron. Hebron is a town that's still in the news today with lots of conflict. It's part of the West Bank. It's where the Palestinian Authority is, and there's always seems to be a conflict going on there. But this is where he was at the time. And in the 15th chapter, God had made a promise to Abram and promised him a great reward, that he would, his seed would be as the stars of the heavens. And so he had that foundation. He had that promise. He had that to begin with. But I'd like to start off here in the 16th chapter, the first verse. And it says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children." We'll stop right there. That was a problem. Because, here he had this great promise from God, but it wasn't being fulfilled. That was a problem. And you think about it, how big of an emotional trial that would be for a woman. That God said, okay, your husband is going to be, his seed will be as the stars of the sky, or the sands of the sea, and you're his wife. Guys, pretend. And you can't have kids. What would be going through your mind that here is this huge promise, but also this huge problem, that it's very real and very painful thought. Oh, my husband's going to have, all these great things, this great promise, and it won't be me. You have to think that's kind of the things that were going through her head. And this is what I want to do is try and take some of these things and apply them in our lives today, because we all have different problems. It may not be that we're not having kids, but we have problems at work, at school. We have problems with relationships. In families, relationships, and friendships at school, cliques, or have we lost a job? Those things are real, and they're problems. And so that's the kind of thing that Sarai was facing. It's this huge problem right in front of her. And in our humanness, we know the things we should do. And we see this huge problem, and it's our human nature to try to solve it. And we'll cook up all kinds of schemes to try and do that. Things that ways that we think that that will work. And that therein lies the first, and I want to get out of this, is there some certain things that people do that mess up their lives. And so I want to bring those things out so we can learn those lessons so that we don't have to make the same mistakes. So here's the problem. Sarai's, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said to Abram, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid." All right. So Sarai's got a solution. She wants something so much. She wants to be because in her mind she's saying, well, whatever child this slave girl has, it's mine really. So she's got this all figured out. She's going to solve this problem. And deep down inside, we all have we talked about it this morning in Sunday school, we have that basic understanding of right and wrong. But when we're so desperate to solve the problem, so desperate to have, if we have our mind or our heart set on anything so much, it can overrule that part of our brain that says this is right or this is wrong. Because we want it so much. It becomes more important to us than right or wrong. And you got to remember, this wasn't in United States in 2013. This was in a land of Canaan, four or 5,000 years ago. This was not like it was an unusual occurrence. It was common for the people that were living around to have more than one wife. It's no big deal. So Sarai looks around saying, hey, look at all these other people. Hey, we'll just do that. But it's that selfish desire. It's that human understanding. And it's a lot of it's based on feelings. I feel, regardless of what's right and wrong, I feel this is the right thing to do. When we, like I said, we want something so much. I believe that she truly did want a child for her husband so much that her judgment's clouded. Because this is not a time where they can go in the laboratory and mix the parts and all of a sudden we have a baby. This is old school. There's no technology. He had to sleep with her. And remember, the promise to Abram was his seed was going to be as the sands of the sea and as the stars of heaven. But at that time, they were giving up that faith and that promise. Because Sarai had a different solution. I want to turn over, keep your finger there because we're going to come back to that, but over in Galatians chapter 4. Talks a little bit about this. Chapter 4 of Galatians in the 22nd verse. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh. But he that the free woman was by promise. That fleshly desire, that part of our brain, that carnal mind we talked about this morning, that's what was working when this when this event happened, and not what God had planned. Over in the sixth chapter, it also talks a little bit about it, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later. Verses 7 and 8 says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." You know, those are some of those things that, talking about that carnal mind, that we are, you know, that those the flesh talking and not our spirit. And it's talking, you remember, I want us to try and put ourselves there so we can get this lesson. And you know what's that's funny is we look at our lives, you know, when we're teenagers, we're young adults, we make decisions that affect the rest of our life. And we think that, oh, once we get through that, oh, it's easy. But you remember, Abram was about 85 years old at this time. And Sarai was 75. You know. So there is not an age limit to think in this way. But, you know, the basis of that, that fleshly mindset, that carnal mindset is, you know, Sarai had a problem, and so she thought up a way to try to solve it. And when they're desperate, we'll do almost anything if it's so important. And we'll do all kinds of crazy things, you know, to accomplish what it is, what we think we need. But you know what? And this is kind of the next part of, well, I'll keep reading. Let's go back into Genesis chapter 16. Remember, this was that first thing that people do that mess up their life is they stop thinking of right and wrong, but what they want. What their human desires want are more important. Our desires are, you know, take over for common sense. So, there in the second verse, "And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai." He listened to her. I'll keep going. "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar her maid, the Egyptian, and Abram, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went into Hagar, and she conceived." Okay. So, Abram went and slept with her. And you think about it, when we have problems, who is there to give us solutions? Lots of people, right? Everybody. It's a lot easier to run other people's lives than our own. Did you ever notice that? I can always look at somebody else and say, oh yeah, they need to do this and that. But then when it's my life, it's easier for somebody else to tell me. You know, and you know, that problem that Sarai had, you know, she just wanted to be happy. We all deserve to be happy, right? But what Sarai did was she set aside the word of God. And you can't do that without consequence. We always have, there are friends in the world that tell us the things that we want to hear. And those are the things we often gravitate to. And it's dangerous to have that mindset that, you know, I have a problem and hear someone tell me what I want to hear. It's so easy. You know, so Abram and Sarai, they had this problem. Sarai comes up with the solution. Abram sleeps with Hagar, and so that solved everything, right? Pretty soon, there's a house full of the sound of happy. It's going to be a happy child playing. Everything's going to be hunky and dory, and joy. You know, that's what we want, right? Kids bring us joy. What could be wrong with that? Don't they deserve to be happy? Unfortunately, this euphoria was short-lived, right there in the fourth verse. He went unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. That all of a sudden, this woman who was the slave girl now is proud. See? I'm a better woman than you are because I can have kids. Did Sarai's solution solve her problem or make it worse? And that's what, you know, if you don't get anything else out of this morning, that's what I want you to get through is that Sarai had a problem. And, you know, it was something that she wanted to solve so much that she was willing to do something that wasn't right. And it didn't work. And it doesn't work. All it did was add stress to the house now. What was intended to produce happiness, you know, hey, if I just give him my slave girl to be his wife, we'll have kids, everything will be good. But the exact opposite is what happened. It was intended to produce happiness, but instead produced nearly endless torment, sorrow. And you know, it was Sarai's idea. But Abram listened to her. He was just as much at fault. Remember, God had appeared unto Abram. And I didn't read this. It's back earlier in chapter 15 that God had appeared to him and said, "This is the promise I have for you." He knew the promise more clearly than Sarai, because God didn't appear to Sarai, but he had appeared to Abram. Spiritual problems and spiritual people need spiritual advice. When we need help making decisions, Abram listened to his wife. And not to say that's a bad thing. I'll never hear to the end of that. But, you know, here in this problem that Sarai felt, instead of being that strong man, he listened and was willing to go along. We need to seek advice from mature believers who know God's word firsthand. When we have problems, but what more commonly happens, especially when that problem is so huge and we're desperate for a solution, we're thinking about stepping outside of God's laws, we get advice from people who are either weak believers or don't know the scriptures. They simply don't know. And that's who we end up going to for advice. And those people will tell them what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. Because what's the surest way to make an enemy? Tell them that they're wrong and they're doing something wrong. Step on their toes. That's a good way. Okay? I'm not sure if it's the surest way. I shouldn't use that phrase, but it's a common way. over in 1 Nephi in the 5th chapter. About the 103rd verse is where I'll start. Just to give you some background, you know, they're at the seashore getting ready to build this ship, and you know, it's the usual story. Laman and Lemuel are acting up, getting rebellious. Wanting to do something that was not right. They complain, that, you know, murmur and complain. And what does Nephi reference when he's talking to him? The 103rd verse says, "And it came to pass that I, Nephi, spake unto them, saying, Do you believe that our fathers, which were the children of Israel, would have been led away out of the hands of the Egyptians, had they not hearkened unto the words of the Lord? Yea, do you suppose that they would have been led out of bondage if the Lord had not commanded Moses that he should lead them out of bondage? Now you know the children of Israel were in bondage. You know that they were laden with tasks which were grievous to be borne. Wherefore you know that it must needs be a good thing for them that they should be brought out of bondage. Now you know that Moses was commanded of the Lord to do that great work. And you know that by his word the waters of the Red Sea were divided hither and thither, and they passed through on dry ground. But you know the Egyptians were drowned in the Red Sea, which were the armies of Pharaoh. And you also know that they were fed with manna in the wilderness." The way Nephi addresses this is he goes right to the scriptures, right to the stories that they knew. He was bringing those things to their remembrance, saying, remember all these things that God has done? You know, they had faith, you know, Laman and Lemuel and the rest of the family, they were in their mind, there was a problem. They were in the middle of nowhere. Nephi was trying to get them to build a ship. And so they were not happy. There was a problem. But Nephi went straight to the scriptures and reminded them of those things. And he goes on for the next 50 verses talking about all those things that God had done. To bless them, and how he had warned Lehi. That's when we're having that problem, that's who we should seek out. Those who could counsel out of the scriptures. Unfortunately, what we do as humans, the foolish things, as we listen to popular culture. We listen to those that are not spiritually strong. We listen to those that don't have that understanding. That's another one of those things that we do to mess up our lives. But I want to keep going because there's more out of this story. We're back in the 16th chapter of Genesis. So, Hagar's pregnant, and now we have two women in the household, and nobody's happy. And they're arguing, and there's lots of stress. And the 5th verse says, "And Sarai said unto Abram, My wrong be upon thee." She's blaming Abram. And that's the next thing that we do to mess up our lives. We always blame somebody else. Well, I was going to use my kids, but I'm not going to do that. But it's pretty common. It's always easy, because what did Adam do? When Eve ate the apple, oh, you know what, God, the woman that you gave me, wasn't my fault. Not my fault. And what's the result? Should she have been surprised that here was this woman who had been a slave, who was all of a sudden now she's elevated to the position of a wife, and now she's pregnant, that would cause stress? Did anybody not see that coming? Should Sarai should have been able to see that? It wasn't the way Sarai had it worked out in her head, obviously. Once again, she was using her worldly wisdom and understanding to try and solve her problem. But fortunately, Sarai humbled herself and tried to make it right, right? Well, not exactly. My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she hath when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee. She was mad, and she was blaming Abram. You know, blaming somebody else for our problems is a sure sign of spiritual immaturity. We all make mistakes. We have consequences of those mistakes. But to blame them on somebody else is just immature. And you know what? That's the thing, is if we can blame it on somebody else, what's going to happen? We're just going to repeat it because we'll find somebody else to blame it on. And the result is we stagger from one problem to the next. One crisis to the next. It's like the, okay, here's a perfect example. Washington, D.C. Whose fault is it? Depends on who you ask, because everybody's willing to blame somebody else. And they go from problem to problem, from crisis to crisis, never actually solving anything because they don't accept the responsibility and move on. They don't realize and getting out of the Washington, D.C. area, but just in spiritual things, that when we make spiritual mistakes and we blame other people, they don't realize that we hold the key to changing things. But when we blame somebody else, we're too proud to admit that we can be wrong. You know, we can't grow when you don't have the ability to accept responsibility for mistakes, to own them. Kids blame parents. Husbands blame wives. Wives blame husbands. Employees blame bosses. I know that, well, like with kids, you know, you guys are at that age where you're making big decisions. It's a challenge to know. And sometimes your parents can make it more difficult. But once you're old enough to know right and wrong, you got to take charge of that and own it. Our lives are our responsibility, what we do with them. It's the only way to stop that. So, you know, so blame another person, people, for our mistakes is another way that we mess up our lives. Getting back into Genesis, there's one more thing that we do that mess up our lives. And that was that, you know, here's Sarai, she's come to Abram saying, hey, you know what? It's your fault. Now Hagar hates me and despises me. She's too proud and it's stressful. And so fortunately, Abram calls a family meeting. Says, all right, listen, folks, this whole thing started because I let it happen. I didn't have to consent to this fleshly scheme, but I did, and I was wrong. I need you to forgive me for my foolishness. And now with that done, I need you, Sarai, to realize that this was your suggestion in the beginning. You brought it on yourself.